Okay, hello everyone. Welcome back to the Middle Age Gaming Podcast. We're here with Adam and Anton again. It is a new year. I already said Happy New Year once. I'll say it again. It's almost Chinese New Year, so I've got to say later in a few episodes. But yeah, we are here talking about games that are coming out in January, so you don't want to miss this episode. If you're looking for games to play this month or games to buy this month, maybe you had a nice Christmas bonus from work or your parents gave you some money for Christmas. And we have some good suggestions for games, some games that are going to be brand spanking new, some games that are going to be on sale, in my case anyway. But before we get started, let's switch things up today and let's start with Anton and what Anton's been playing since last week.
As usual, and for the next few weeks at least, Warhammer 3, Total War. And exactly like last week, it's such a fantastic game. And again, it's so frustrating. So let's start with what's fantastic. I finished the campaign game mode with the Grand Cathay, with the Chinese faction. As I said last week, it's a really good faction. I'm just a bit annoyed by the yin-yang, keep the balance on it. Apart from that, it's a pretty good faction, apart that they really lack spear. Like spearmen to stop cavalry in front, that's really lacking. Since you are playing against chaos, most of the time you need halberds more than spear, but still, I can't go into much detail into the mechanic of the game, otherwise I'm going to spend an hour on it. So I finished this campaign, and then I started the Mortal Empire, which happens if you have 1, 2, and 3 on the same platform, so I have everything out on Steam. So I have the giant map from Warhammer 1, 2, and 3, which is fantastic because you start with 275 factions on the map. It's great. And here is the frustration, because it's a massive map with lots of faction and everything. So you're going to spend hundreds of hours on it. And I know I will. It's just as they put, it's still on beta, by the way. And I understand why. A balance of it is not really balanced. I wanted to try the faction of Kislev, which is one of the factions you can get from Warhammer 3, which you can relate to, I won't say Russian, but more like Slavic. Because, you know, it's more like a mix of Polish, Russians, like Slavic people, Slavic armies. It's really fun, but they have one major inconvenience, is that they are all of their units, or like 90% of the units, are hybrid. So they have a weapon and they have a gun. So they are a mix of frontline and distance. So at first you think, hey, that's fantastic, because you can shoot your enemies and before they arrive, they are way weakened, and then you can finish them face to face. Which it's basically the dwarf gameplay. With a dwarf, you have big cannons, and by the time the enemy arrives there, they're already completely decimated. With Kislev, no, because their guns are way weaker. So when they arrive on you, they lost 10%, maybe 20% of their life, and then they destroy you because they are specialized in hand-to-hand combat, and you're not. So basically, you always form a front of mid-shield, like you take 2 or 3 units saying, sorry guys, you go in front and you're going to get destroyed while you keep your other units in the back so they can shoot either over or in the melee. And they're going to shoot your soldier too. A bit tough, because it's a very fun faction, but there's a lot of strategy playing Kislev. The good thing in this Warhammer 3, and I don't recall it was in 1 and 2, so it's that you can create outposts with your friendly factions. And what happens is that, say, I want to create outposts with my dwarf friends, there's 3 levels, 1, 2, and 3, which cost a lot of money, of course. And then you can hire units from other factions. So if I have an outpost level 3 with dwarves, I can get some very big dwarf cannons for my Kislev army. Or I can get some human shock cavalry. Or I can get some elf archers shoot very far. But that's great. And the issue is that means you can't rely on your faction alone. Your faction is lacking. So you need to hire some other faction, big shield guys, so that your kids can do the job behind. So that's one thing, that's strategy, that's the gameplay of each faction, and that's fantastic because each faction has their own gameplay. That's really fun. What's not fun in terms of balance is that turn 80, I was starting to get reasonably safe with my provinces. Turn 80, I have a chaos attack. 4 or 5 armies of 20 units really pissed off arrive, and I have to sacrifice at least 8 cities in order to get them into some kind of like a very narrow passage, and then I can gun them up one by one. Once this is done, you can finally take it, you need 30, 40 turns to start getting your armies replenished, and you start thinking, okay, everything's fine. I can restart my conquest. And the game say, hey, the dwarf have pissed off. No matter if they were your allies for 3/4 of the game, they are super pissed off and now they're going to attack everyone. And on top of that, we give each dwarf faction, even if they were dead, each of them, 4 armies, 20 people in it. Of course, I'm Kislev, which means I'm backed up against dwarf mountains. I have 4 or 5 factions of dwarves, which is 20 armies, between 10 and 20 armies going down on me. North, south, west, anywhere. I had at this time turn 120 or 30. I had about 35 settlements with 4 big armies. I was super happy. It took 5 turns to reduce me to 3 settlements, which were basically my capital and 2 heavily armed castles, and 1 army.
Wow.
I spent 60 hours and the game said, no, you die now. Why? I was aligned with them. Exactly. That's why, actually, because I was aligned with the dwarf and my human friends on the west were not doing well, I put all my colonies against the dwarf settlement so that my back was covered. I killed the vampires, especially for that. I spent all of my money going in that particular spot of the map. And the map says, hey, you know your back, which is covered? It's not anymore. Like coming with a grudge. So, yeah. So frustrating, but extremely fun. Because with one army, I can just flee to give up my capital and flee to the other side of the map in the middle of human territory and redo everything and respend 1,000 hours until the game says, hey, humans, not your friend anymore. Oh, fuck's sake.
All right. And on that note, Adam, what about you?
Nice house, by the way. I saw that. It was fun. I really like how you, yeah. Where do I put my beam so it's so stable? It was cool, yeah.
Very cool. Okay. And then for me, I've been still playing V Rising, of course, which I just played yesterday, but I've been playing Nobody Saves the World, which is a fantastic looking game. And I guess currently, so in this game, you start off as like a guy who looks like a ghost, but he's like a nobody because he has no face, no features, or anything like that. In this game, your special powers, you can transform into different things. So the first thing, you can transform into this blue rat, which goes around eating things and people and finding monsters. And you have different forms. So right now, my favorite form is the slug, which shoots like acidic tears out of its like tentacles on its head and stuff. But it's a really fun game. One of the coolest things is the mechanics is that you can, as this thing that can turn into different shapes, you can combine powers of different shapes. So you can be like an archer's power combined with a slug's power. You can be like one of the shapes I can turn into is an egg, and I literally just roll over enemies that way, which is really fun. But the egg is also the weakest shape. It has the lowest amount of health. So all these different forms have different amounts of health. And then you have to, another mechanic as well is you have to level up like certain abilities. Like one of the things I have is a horse. And the only thing a horse can do is, as you can imagine, is use its legs and kick back. So when you're fighting enemies, you have to run up to the enemies, turn around as the horse, and then kick back that way to fight them, which is a gigantic pain in the behind. Yes, literally. Because the horse has this kickback, and you have to kick. And then you, of course, take damage because it's really hard to maneuver, turn around, kick, move a little bit that way as the enemies come towards you, kick again, and it's terrible. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's really fun. I think I can foresee myself playing it for a while. I think when I played, I didn't play yesterday because I played V Rising yesterday, but 2 days ago I was on 8 hours and I'm on level 16. And the game goes all the way up to level 40 or so. And this game is, as you level up, the way you level up is you complete quests. And how you complete quests is, if you're in a particular form, it says, okay, as an archer, shoot arrows that go through 3 enemies at the same time. You have to do that 20 times. And then as a knight, you have to use like a shield slam 20 times in order to gain this quest and get that experience. This game was really popular last year because it came out towards the end of last year. It's on PC, it's on Switch. And if you're looking for a really beautiful cartoony style RPG, I couldn't recommend it more. I was going to say the story. There's a story there, but I don't care, as usual. I'm just loving the mechanics. Yeah, that is it for me. And let's dive straight into today's show. And let's go with Adam's game first. Adam, what is your first game that is coming out in January?
I think at the same time, but I need to check that.
Adam, do you think this will be like the kind of game, like as you're talking about, it reminds me of like Kingdoms of Amalur, the game that was backed by that famous baseball pitcher, Curt Schilling, like where it was a game that the mechanics were so cool. Well, not of that game, like a lot of games where you have a fantastic set of mechanics and the people like myself who love mechanics will enjoy it. And then the people who don't, will any story and mechanics, they'll be like, okay, this is not worth $50, $60, $70. Okay, since we are on a time crunch, let's move on to Antoine's One Piece Odyssey, I believe is the name. Oh, and yes, Adam, you're right. It comes out on the Epic and Steam Store January 24th for Forspoken.
Ah, so many comments I wanted to make on Forspoken. All right. Yeah, exactly. The more you were talking about this, I was, okay, fair enough.
Adam was talking about, oh my God, I'm going to check the prices and then I'm going to put it on my wish list.
I just want to say one thing. When you described the world, I thought he was talking about Final Fantasy Spirit Within. Just some patch of cities where people can live and the rest is dead. I want to be in that world. All right. So yes, as you said, my game is One Piece Odyssey or One Piece Nostalgia, as I prefer to call it. Because, hey, believe it or not, I started One Piece when I was 14. It is this year the 25 years anniversary of it. It's a show which never dies. And what did they do to as a game? They didn't do some kind of fighting game like the Naruto stuff or no. They do a completely nostalgia game. They basically took a poll and say which are the arc that people like the best. Okay. Alabasta, of course. Marineford, of course. Water 7 with Reblochi and the Cypherpol fight, of course. And Dressrosa, which I don't think it's... Maybe it's because it's newer that people like it, but it wasn't the most interesting. Anyway, Luffy and his crew arrive on an island and they lose their power. And the way to get their power back is to go in a realm of dreams, I would say, or another world, a fake world, which makes them relive the events which already passed. So imagine that. You are at the end of a game and you have a new game plus. Luffy at this stage, what, 15 years, maybe more, after Alabasta, goes back to Alabasta with all their brand new powers and everything. So I don't know how it's going to play, but that sounds extremely fun. Just the pitch sounds extremely fun. I tried to check out a bit of the mechanic of the game. From what I saw, it looks like Tales of, like a JRPG, where if you hit the enemy, you go in combat mode. What scared me, and I don't know, we'll see, but what's the fun in the Tales of is as soon as you enter a fighting scene, it's very dynamic. Here, they decided to go for a turn-by-turn, in turn-base. Each time you have to go to a menu to do an attack. So it slowed, I find, at least in the video that I saw, I find that it slows down the action a lot. We'll see, maybe it's very good and very well-made. From this, I was like, that could have been a bit more action-orientated, maybe FF7 remake or something. I don't know. It's just, that's my worry at this time. It's released on PS4, PS5, PC, Xbox Series, but not on Game Pass. And it's released, here it says the 13th, earlier I saw the 12th. Anyway, it's released this week. Developed by ILCA, Ilka, I don't know. And of course, it's published by Bandai Namco. That's why I was referring to Tales of all this JRPG. You have Bandai Namco game behind. So that's a label which makes you trust that they know how to do JRPG, even if they didn't. They did the game themselves, they're publishing it. So there is basically the stamp of approval. It's a game, about One Piece, about the best part of One Piece. It sounds extremely fun because you have a lot of, you have the whole crew that you didn't have in Alabasta or things like this. Ah, it's going to be fun. I really think that this game is going to be great. On PC, I would wait a couple of months before getting it. On PS4, 4 and 5, I think you can get it right away, maybe after day one patch. On PC, maybe wait a bit because it really looks like it's a game that you should play on a pad and rather than a mouse and keyboard. It looks really fun, and I really want to try it. Yeah, I think after Total War, I'll try that. Of course.
What's the price of these games?
It's crazy. Depends on the kind of... Of course, you have the basic edition at $80. I think here I saw One Piece PS4, PS5, deluxe edition. So on both platforms at $120 Canadian. Xbox, $80 for console.
So it's $80 Canadian. How much is that in US dollars?
So it'd be 70, 70. It's regular price.
Oh, it's 60
regular
US.
$60?
80 Canadian is $60. I just converted on Google.
Nah, it's going to put it at 70. We just get it cheaper than Americans. Sorry. But it's regularly priced, just always very expensive. I don't see Steam in the release, in the platform release. So I guess that's PlayStation then for me. PS5. I still have my PS4. So if they could price it a bit, you know, lower than PS5, I know they won't do it, but that'd be nice.
And what about Forspoken? Yes.
Yeah. Okay. At triple A's, you know.
Yes. Okay. Mine's game is going to be really quick because, as I was telling the guys online and before the show, I could not find a game in January. I'm like, okay, this is somewhat interesting or a little bit interesting that we hadn't talked about already. And I knew Adam was going to talk about Forspoken because he played the demo. So what I did was, because Chinese New Year is in 9 days, literally in 9 days, Nintendo Switch has their sale going on for Chinese New Year. So I went through the Switch. I'm like, hey, what are some cool games that I can tell you guys about? And because this episode will air today, which is the 11th of January, 2023 in Taiwan. It will be the 11th. It will still be the 10th of January in America and Canada when this comes out anyway. But yeah, it is. The game I'm going to talk about first is a game called Islanders. So it is usually $5, but it's for $3. This is a game that is modeled off something that's called Townscaper. And Townscaper used to be on itch.io. It was basically a AI generative game where you drag your mouse and you paint like an area and it would just build a town. And this is just what this game is. It's very easy. Again, if you've listened to our podcast, this is the kind of game I like. Very easy going, not a lot of thinking, not a lot of hardship, not difficult. It's you lie in bed and you play this, or you sit in your bed and you sit on a couch and you play this. And there's not a lot of difficulty. You're building towns on an island. That is pretty much this game. Super affordable. Sale ends January 16th. So that will be 16th American time. So it'll be 17th if you're living in Asia. And that's it. That's all. There's literally nothing. I try to find more information about this game. There's 50 words on the Switch site. There's another 50 words on the developer site. There's no more descriptions about gameplay and stuff. But like I said,
$3. What do you lose buying it?
Exactly.
Looks cute.
Yeah, it's actually, I have not played a strategy or an RTS game until I played the first one on the Switch, which is Vikings or Northrend Vikings. And I enjoyed it. It was nice, easygoing. I'm like, I enjoyed it more than sitting in front of my PC and playing it. Yeah. All right, Adam, let's move on to your number two.
Is that some kind of game, like, I'm trying to look at it because I don't really know this one. Is it like Little Nightmare or Limbo or more like Trine? For next Halloween, Little Nightmare.
Adam, how many players is this? Like 2, 3, 4? Oh, that's nice. Cool. Yeah, I know. I was asking because Nobody Saves the World. I'm like, that's a cool game. But that is like limited to 2 people at most. So that's cool. Okay, Anton, do you have another game you'd like to talk about?
No, I don't. No, seriously, because we decided to make this show on what's coming out for January. See what the game were interesting for this month. And to be honest, there was Forspoken and I think the other Dead Space game, but I know that Adam wanted to talk about it. But to be honest, Dead Space game, I'm having fun with the Callisto Protocol on stream right now because it's supposed to be a horror game. And the guy I'm watching make me cry laughing because it's not a horror. You just take the base weapon of the game is a cop baton. How you call that? Yeah, baton. Yeah, yeah. And he just play a... he is just playing like a god of war. Say, yeah, 4 enemies. You're supposed to be quiet. Yes. Oh! Okay. So this horror game immersion has been completely destroyed. So that's absolutely not like Dead Space games should be played. But fair enough. That makes me have a lot of fun watching this. That's why I'm absolutely not into the Dead Space remake, which is being made this month. And the One Piece was really interesting. As honestly, I saw the advertisement everywhere and I didn't realize it was coming out now, so it was for this summer or something. So I didn't find anything really interesting. That's why I stuck with One Piece, and between One Piece and Warhammer I can speak hours about it, so that would be fine. And do you remember when we had podcast about only 37 minutes? It's all gone now. We got the full hour again.
Adam, since you have the Dead Space trailer on the screen, do you want to give everybody a quick take on it? Ooh.
It didn't go well for Master Chief on the Halo, on the Paramount Picture stuff, Paramount Plus.
How scary is this on a scale of 1 to 10? Like 10 being a Silent Hill game and 1 being...
Yes, but it's not Alien Isolation.
Oh, crap. Okay. Yeah. Because I was wanted to give this a try, but after you said that, I'm like, no.
It's more quick. I mean, it's more action. Oh, yes, exactly. It's not like Alien Isolation. Alien Isolation, you piece yourself in front of the screen. That's scary. This is more like a 6.5, 7.
All
right,
okay.
That's what I'm thinking, but I don't know.
A psychological horror, something like that. Cool. Yeah, no, there are lots of games that are like, oh, I should definitely give this a go. And then this has always been on there because I heard the dismemberment mechanic is really cool. So I was like, okay, this will be something to try. But
look at his stream. Look at a stream with a chill out streamer who doesn't let you immersed too much inside in the game, and you'll be.
I think I told you guys, we talked about this last week, right? As the only person I'll ever watch streaming is Adam, when I do have time. Otherwise, if I watch any videos about a game, it's my cell phone is here and I am vacuuming or I'm working on my bicycle or cleaning something or dumping. I never will sit in front of a screen and watch a stream. That's just not me, unfortunately. Yes. Okay. Let's move on to my second choice, which is the game I really wanted to buy in the last Nintendo Switch sale. It is called Card Shark. And this, again, another game with really cool art, which is, I don't know why, as I've gotten older, I like this really interesting art style. This game also has a really cool mechanic, very similar to Nobody Saves the World, in that you are actually trying to actively cheat when you're playing this game. And on your Switch controller, you have what do you call those things, man? I don't know, because I don't really play controller games. What are those called?
The triggers?
Son of a, yes. I don't remember what those are called. You press the triggers to cheat that way and try to glance at somebody's cards as you play. Again, I'm really famous. Also, again, you don't have to trust me. This game, look up some reviews. Really well done. Currently on sale for $14. The original price is $20. This sale ends on the 14th. So again, that will be 14th US time. There'll be 15th Taiwanese time. There's a demo available as well. So if you're not, maybe you're not like a diehard card playing person like I am, you can go download the demo on your Switch, give it a go. Is it worth $13? If it is, buy it. If it's not, don't buy it. That is cool. But again, if you're looking for a game with a really interesting sort of very lifelike mechanic, if you've ever played a card game and tried cheating at it, this is the game for you. But yeah, another good choice for January if you're a Switch gamer or even if you're a PC gamer, because this is also on PC. Now, I assume this is on PlayStation as well.
Rename Poker Cheating 101.
Exactly.
Looks cool, actually.
It's really fun. I don't even know why I chose games with interesting mechanics today, but yeah, this is just I've heard great things about the mechanics and the way you have to cheat in order to actually pass this game. Because you have to cheat. You can't, I remember the way the game starts is you can play and you can win by skill, but eventually you have to cheat, just like the game says, you are a card shark. And it becomes more elaborate ways for you cheating, like the typical Hollywood card down the sleeve sort of stuff that'll happen. All right, Adam, let's go on to your last game since we're down to our last 10 minutes. And what did we do? We did, okay, cool. Living in Taiwan, you can't buy games from Best Buy, Walmart. I don't think so, Adam, right? Yeah, I didn't think so either. Because I remember I've always seen good stuff at Best Buy, Walmart. Yeah, can you guys ship to Taiwan? Of course not. But Amazon allows you to buy digital games. I've never actually bought one, so I'm not sure how this works. I would assume they're sending you a code. You plug it into your eShop store, and that's how you get the game. But again, this game is usual full price at $30, $15 at the moment. Amazon did not list when the sale actually ends. I will have a quicker look to see, is this still on sale? Yep, it is still on sale right now, 50% off. So if you're looking for a turn-based game, this is definitely something that runs really well, that's really fun, and supposedly the story is really good. So if you're into League of Legends and stuff, I just the turn-based style, I like the art. That's the only reason I play this. But another good choice for January, if you have a Switch, even if you don't have a Switch, again, this is also on PC as well. I would imagine we're going to get another Steam sale getting a little bit closer to Chinese New Year. Okay. And guys, so that is it for today. Adam, Anton, any final thoughts for today's show? Gaming thoughts?
No, you know, it's just we have to stop doing these shows because the wallet doesn't run limitless. Everything that you guys talked about, I'm like, oh, I want.
All this stuff over here is I have Islanders. I don't have Card Shark, but I'm playing Nobody Saves the World. And it's just, I know I won't finish this game because I play an hour a day. Apparently, this game was 60 hours long, so that's 60 weeks. There, I'll be finished in 2024. Yeah. That's how long it'll take me to finish this game.
60 days, right?
1 hour a day, because you want to say 60 weeks. Yes. Oh, God.
2 months.
That's why, it's luckily, I don't have to do math and just make YouTube and Inside Crypto podcast videos. Adam, what about you?
If I do in this week, I will probably continue with... I might do some... figure out something else to do in Frozen Flame. Otherwise, I'll probably continue with Final Fantasy 14.
Okay. Very cool. And then we will leave that today. Oh, Anton, I wanted to ask you, what's the picture behind you on the wall?
It is?
I feel like you told us before. Yeah, what is it?
Kid's drawing. Here you have a Mew, and here it's my it's One Piece. My kid watching One Piece, so he makes drawing about One Piece.
Oh, cool. Very cool. All right, and then, what are we doing next week?
I don't know.
Maybe something about, I don't know, it's more rare and rare to have time exclusives. Maybe we can see if there's any time exclusives this year in 2023 on PlayStation or Xbox or something like this.
We can talk about timed exclusives.
I honestly haven't seen anything yet, but I don't know what's going to come out in 2023. I'm seeing this blindly, and most likely I'm not going to find anything interesting, but hey, who knows?
I know Adam has a lot of strong opinions about timed exclusives.
I do.
I know, and that's
I
why.
I also know timed exclusives. Off the top of my head, I'm like, yep, I know.
Yes, which I'm very glad that Forspoken is coming out on PC at the same time, and it's not a time
exclusive. As am I.
Because I grew up loving fantasy books and magic stuff, so I'd love a game where I get to blend all of that stuff together.
Forspoken actually is a timed exclusive, because it will come to Xbox later.
Oh, Xbox people, doesn't matter. It's just PC, so don't worry.
Ouch.
I'm sorry. I mean, we're all in the same team, be Microsoft anyway, but as long as I get a PC. But not like I have time to play it anyway. So I'm very much in the Antoine boat of not buying games on release anymore. Though I did wrote it down on my wish list. Just buy Space Marine 2, buy Hades 2 on pre-order this year. All right. Yeah, I will stop babbling on. Guys, thank you very much for your time. And next week we'll try and find some timed exclusives for games that are like when they eventually do come out. And we'll talk about those next week, Wednesday at the same time. All right, everyone have a good week, and we will see you next week at the same time.
Catch you later.
See ya, bye.
That's all we have time for, folks. Please don't forget to follow, like, subscribe, and share on social media. We are trying to build the best possible community out there. We want to create a home for people just like you. You can find Middle Age Gaming on YouTube, Twitter, Discord, Gmail, and Instagram. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in to Adam and Phil's stream to have a chat with them. See you later.